Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
Country, despite the work of these corrupt politicians like the controversial Nancy D'Alessandro Pelosi, who, if she stays in Congress as the minority leader, she'll be the best target for the Republicans and the new Tea Party people and other critics of her arrogant politics and attitude and some of the deals she's been involved in. Some of the affordable housing scandals, which we'll get in later with documentation. Interesting birthdays today. Let's start with a pope, since the Catholic Church is in the news again, with the bishops having their conference, and there's more controversy about pedophilia. But, of course, it's not only Catholics who have been involved in this. We've got Protestants. We've had here in San Francisco, we elect them to public office, and they're allowed, the pedophiles are allowed in our schools and being paid with federal funds. I also had some rabbis involved in pedophilia, and, you know, it isn't restricted to just boys. There are girls that are girls. It's equal opportunity predators. Anyway, Nicholas V was a Roman Catholic pope, and he founded the Vatican Library, which is one of the most important and one of the biggest and best libraries in the world. Of course, the church can afford it, and then they've been around 2,000 years. And as one pope said in response to some criticism, the Catholic Church does not think in terms of years, it thinks in terms of centuries. And that's the whole attitude of the church. That's why it does move. Church hierarchy moves very slowly. And for those of you who are interested in astrology, in 1738, Sir William Herschel was born. He's the guy who discovered Uranus, which is one of the prominent planets that are used in astrological computations and people who are into astrology. And then this British prime minister is very important to both America and American and Canadian history, William Pitt the Elder. He had a son, so this is another like George Bush the first and George Walker Bush and the other, the latest George Bush Jr., I guess you could call him. William Pitt the Elder was one of the great prime ministers of England. Because he refused to take a title of nobility, he was called the Great Commoner. But had fascinating history. A lot of wars happened on his watch, as it were, and French and Indian War, in which George Washington first fought, and which because the British defeated what was the French army up in Canada on the Plains of Abraham, and both generals died after the Battle of Montcalm and General Wolfe, the British were able to acquire Canada. Also, this is a case of military incompetence. Admiral Byng, B-Y-N-G, was an admiral of the British Navy. He was ordered to to accomplish an objective. He failed to do it. He was court-martialed and hung as an example to the rest. This is we haven't seen military leaders of that rank, admiral or general or field marshal, executed until about the time of Adolf Hitler, when several field marshals, Witzleben and others, and Rommel was, Marshal Rommel, whose birthday is today, was forced to commit suicide because of his involvement with Field Marshal Witzleben and the plotters who bombed Hitler's headquarters and failed to kill him with Count Klaus Stauffenberg. And Hitler's had a horrible revenge, and about, I think it was several thousand people were rounded up, some were executed, and Rommel, because of his fame, and they couldn't afford a scandal, they offered him a choice to protect his family, his son, who later became mayor of Stuttgart, Manfred, and his wife. He was offered suicide. And then there's a movie with, or two movies with him, and about him, and then General Patton admired him. It's interesting that Rommel, Montgomery, and General Patton are all Scorpios, all born in, around this time, the November, so since we're talking about astrology. And then other birthdays, this is very important, and this plays into the issue in the Steve Nery case, the U.S. Navy sailor who was still buried in a California prison because of a kangaroo court case here in San Francisco where they had no jurisdiction, where they forged documents and involved a Canadian immigrant, that's Kevin Ryan. Today is the birthday of Felix Frankfurter. He emigrated legally from Vienna, Viennese Jew. I don't know if he practiced, but he was one of FDR, Franklin Roosevelt's, first appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court. He was a liberal, and over time, him and Justice Black, Hugo Black, who was a Ku Klux Klanner in his youth, they were liberals when they came on the court, and by the time they left, many years later, they were very conservative. And Felix Frankfurter, I think, was the first one to become moved toward the center and the right, in more ways than one. But he came here legally, and that's not what we can say about some of these other people who hide how they crossed the border or how their parents brought them across the border illegally and how they cover up even today. Also today is the birthday of another of the Harriman family, W. Avril Harriman. His family made money with investing in the railroads in the West here. He was governor of New York, and during World War II, he was FDR's ambassador to the Soviet Union, to Stalin. His wife, one of his wives, Pamela, later became ambassador to France, Harriman, I think the banking, they were like Goldman Sachs, Brown Brothers, Harriman were big financiers. And then we have the famous painter, George O'Keefe, was born today, famous poetess, Marion Moore. And then we have quite a few, several important musicians. Mantovani, he was born today. Jorge Bolet, who famous Cuban pianist who was seen in, played the soundtrack in the film about Franz Liszt. He played the piano music. Then we have Daniel Barenboim, who was born in Argentina, went to Israel. He was a child prodigy, was conductor of the the Chicago Symphony. A lot of some controversy about him. He's quite a pianist. He studied with great Wilhelm Furtwängler, the greatest modern German conductor. He did compose some music, and he did serve Hitler, and he had to flee after the 1944. A failed plot against Hitler. He crossed into Switzerland. And there was a lot of controversy about Furtwängler. He was going to, after the conductor of the Chicago Symphony, longtime conductor, Friedrich Stock, also German, died, some of the people wanted to bring Wilhelm Furtwängler over to take over the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, which was one of the great orchestras of the world. And the Jewish survivors and prominent Jews in America objected because of his relationship, because he stayed in Germany and played concerts for the Nazis, even though he was not a Nazi. And he died in 1954, I think, of pneumonia. But Barenboim was quite a pianist, and he married a famous cellist who died. He was cheating on her. It's unfortunate. One of the great Jacqueline Dupré, great cellist who came down, I think, with multiple sclerosis. And Barenboim remarried, and he's conducted operas and all that. But a great musician. Other actors we had. We have John Kerr. Now, John Kerr was in South Pacific, the original, and he was also in one of the first, Tea and Sympathy, which was one of the first gay-themed prep school films, where he was teased. They thought he was in the closet, and it was a controversial 1950s film, but well done. And then he later, I think he was in some later films with shows with the other actresses whose names escape me at the moment. I'm sorry. And then Howard Baker, who was the senator from Tennessee, he married Everett Dirksen, Senator Everett Dirksen's daughter. That helped him, give him a rise, a couple of legs up in politics. And then we have another actor, Yaphet Kotto, who was a famous black actor, even with that African name, was born in New York City. And then we have Sam Waterston, who is in this very good TV law program called Law and Order. And they've dealt with some very interesting subjects, including one where a guy committed murder here, a young man committed murder in New York and fled to Israel and tried to claim the right of return, which technically a lot of Jews are entitled to do. And they the New York authorities in this series, and this has actually happened, tried to get him extradited from Israel back to New York to face prosecution. Then they did a series on homosexual badgering and ended up in a homicide. That was a surprise. It was very well done and tastefully done. And then we have, this is kind of funny. During the 60s, this singer came, her record, Downtown, Petula Clark, was being played and featured on radio stations by DJs across the country. And she had this, she's a little person, and she had this great bell carillon voice, like Julie Andrews. And one of the disc jockeys got into trouble for saying, "Is Pet Clark, is that a new sex game?" And he got bounced off the air for a while. But her song is still played from time to time, called Downtown, and it's very popular. It's a very lasting artistic production and record, very famous. And let's see, who else was born today? Oh, and I guess this is of interest. The ninth in succession to the British throne, Peter Phillips, was born today. He is the son of Princess Margaret. Not Margaret, Princess Anne. And of the interesting events today, again, Columbus in 1492, those of us who smoke discovered tobacco. Well, that's the first reference of tobacco. And, of course, tobacco, potatoes, tomatoes, and corn, besides gold, were among the things that the Spanish discovered here in what is called the New World and exported to Spain and made Spain a very rich country until the British decided, the privateers and the pirates decided to take it away. And this is also comes up in today, one of the important events today, birthdays today, of Samuel Gompers. Samuel Gompers was the longest serving president of the American Federation of Labor, which later merged with the CIO, I think it's Congress of Industrial Organizations. And Gompers emigrated from a Jewish family, emigrated from London, and his family was in the cigar business, and he made cigars, and that's how he started in the union field. Of interest is that one of his descendants carries the name, I know the guy, graduated from college with a degree in English but couldn't find a job, so he's working for an international specialty food and beverage chain, and I asked him about it. And what is interesting is, although his granduncle was the founder, one of the leaders of the American Federation of Labor, his grandnephew works willingly and likes the job in a non-union shop. just shows you how different things are today. And then, since we're talking about Jewish things, in 1660, the first kosher butcher shop opened in the United States. 1777, some people want to go back to this, the Articles of Confederation was founded or agreed to by the first Congress. And then this is a controversial college and university and law school. In 1791, Georgetown University, first Catholic college in America, was founded. And then Zebulon Pike discovered what is known as Pike's Peak today. And then if you really want to see how this happened, there's a great film called Gone with the Wind. On this day in 1864, Sherman burnt Atlanta. Some people think that it should have stayed burned. But we'll leave that to them. And then in 1891, getting back to Samuel Gompers, the American Federation of Labor was founded in Pittsburgh. Incidentally, Pittsburgh is named after William Pitt the Elder, the Prime Minister of England, who did a lot to acquire property and land for the British Empire. And his son, the junior, William Pitt the Younger, was the Prime Minister at the time of the Napoleonic Wars. And then today, also 1938, the Nazis, it was 1939 it should be, the Nazis started when they defeated the Polish army, which was on horses, and they were fighting against tanks and airplanes, when the Nazis conquered Poland and they split it between the Russians and themselves, they started the massacre of the Warsaw's Jews. And then Social Security Administration approved the first unemployment check in 1939. And then this is an interesting prime minister in Canadian history. Unfortunately, Americans know very little about Canadian history, but Canadians know more about American history. Maybe it's because, as one of their prime ministers, Pierre Trudeau, said, living in Canada is like an ant living on an elephant or living next to an elephant. Both Trudeau and several Canadian prime ministers went to Harvard. We figured that one out. William Lyon Mackenzie King was the longest-serving prime minister, 22 years served as prime minister of Canada. He was out of power briefly and then reelected, or got a parliamentary majority, which brought him back in. And he was prime minister of Canada during the war. He was a bachelor, and he believed in spiritualism and all and psychic things, and used to communicate supposedly with his dead mother, and one of the great prime ministers of Canada. And so he was born today. And then this is important for it plays into why military does not trust open and especially politicized homosexuality. Sir Anthony Blunt, he was the Queen Elizabeth's painter. He was British intelligence investigators finally identified him as the fourth man of that major Soviet spy ring. Three of them were homosexuals. It was McClane and Philby, and I forget the other one. The other man, I forgot the third one. We'll get into that another day. But one of the reasons that the military is very very suspicious of open homosexual activity, persuasion, politicizing of sexual preference is what I call it, is because of the long history that these people are associated with treason and treachery, dating back 100 years to the Captain Alfred Dreyfus and Esterhazy case, and then the case of Colonel Rado, who was the head of Austrian military counterintelligence. He was into young males and was compromised and was selling Austrian military secrets to the Russians. We had problems in World War One with the Germans trying to undermine, trying to seduce sailors. World War II, similar situation. And then we had the theft of the atomic bomb, which they're not talking about, which involved not only Americans, the Rosenbergs and David Greenglass, but these Brits. McLean, one of them was a drunken homosexual, was arrested by Virginia State policemen, and he was attached to the British Embassy in Washington. He was part of that spy ring. And then there was Kim Philby, and then we had Blunt. And then these people escaped justice, and they fled to Russia and died drunk and dishonored by the British, but the Russians never suspected them, but they had to shelter them. And another person also today is the birthday of General Erwin Rommel. And since I'm an admirer of Charles de Gaulle, the man who saved modern France, and he was also one of the San Francisco is one of his favorite cities to visit, and George Christopher was the man who made him smile. And we are going to play that interview of Mayor George Christopher, host General Charles de Gaulle.
Diplomatic mission, I think, involved de Gaulle, Conrad Adenauer. De Gaulle, Charles de Gaulle.
Oh, yeah, I received him, too. How do you know all these things?
I did some checking.
Well, you had to treat him differently. You have to be versatile in treating each person one way or another. Now, with Khrushchev, I took some liberties at the outset to be with some jesting. With on the way back, I had stopped over in Paris and I invited de Gaulle to come to San Francisco, and I told him I'd give him the biggest reception he ever had. Well, he took that as a matter of speaking. But one day I got a telephone call that he's coming. It was from Eisenhower, in Eisenhower's office. So Eisenhower and I got along very nicely. He respected me, and I respected him. Anyway, and I told his staff, I said, now look, when he comes, he'll be landing on Treasure Island, and I want him to arrive at exactly 20 minutes to 12. Well, why 20 minutes to 12? Why not 11:30, or why not 12 o'clock? Well, I had my plans. My plans were to, I appointed every building manager on Montgomery Street in the immediate area, and I sent them all a letter. I said, save your ticker tape, tell your, and put a big sign on the in the lobby of your building, save your ticker tape, General de Gaulle will be arriving at 12 o'clock, and let's give him the biggest reception he ever had.
Bigger than New York, huh?
And I said also, then I called the French school. They gave the kids half a day off to come down with the French flags and all that. And instead of coming in at 20 minutes to 12, they came in at about 11:30, about 10, 15 minutes early. Well, that kind of threw me off base because I didn't want to go down there at 11:45 up California Street and up Post Street. I wanted to. My purpose was to have all these girls and fellows who work in the office to be out in the street. That was my conniving purpose, you see. So, as a result, I called in a couple of admirals to make a little speech. They weren't on the program, but I said, God, they say something. I extended my remarks from 3 minutes to about 6 minutes. I said, I got one of his people to speak. And at 5 minutes to 12, we were completed with all our ceremonies. I said, okay, now we can go. So we drove. I told the driver, just arrive at 12 o'clock at the end of the bridge, the one that swerves off. We went up California Street, up Montgomery Street, up Post Street. There were 250,000 people out there. And later, he was so pleased. He was so pleased. He stood up in the car and waved at all the people. First time, his aide said, I've been with the general for 30 years, the first time I've seen him smile. So sometimes you have to alter your methods. But he was I got the medal he gave me, the Legion of Honor, just on account of that. I didn't earn it, but he gave me the Legion of Honor.
You gave him the best parade he had in his life.
Yeah. So anyway, I've talked too much.
Oh, no. Well, one last big question.
We'll run that big question interview another day, another show. But this is interesting about San Francisco. During the administration of George Christopher, we had more foreign dignitaries who wanted to visit this beautiful city. It's still a beautiful city. Fortunately, we have too many carpetbaggers here who have brought their cruddy politics, their dishonesty, their abuse of people. And an incident happened over the weekend, which will be up on our other YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas. And it's a situation that's growing across the country, and that is this latest form of road rage. It's bicyclists. And an incident happened here where we caught it on video, where a bicyclist just ran down this woman who's approaching senior citizen, and then the senior citizen was with her, and this bicyclist just hit her, knocked her down, and then tried to flee, and we tried to restrain him. So we cut it on tape, and he smacked her in the face, and I'm surprised we got that on camera. There's a lot to be said about these small video cameras. And used the N-word to somebody who came over to help us. Two nice black people saw it. This happened on a crowded San Francisco beach area Sunday. And all kinds of abuse. I knocked the woman, hit her, threw his bicycle on her. Well, this is what's going on. These bicyclists are out of control. They're not licensed, and this has become the latest form of road rage, and they're involved in more and more accidents. And guess who pays? It's the people who have auto insurance and homeowners insurance. Or if the bicyclist has homeowners insurance, then they're covered, I understand. Excuse me, but it's out of control, and when the cops came, the San Francisco police came and tried to explain that, hey, you know, these bicyclists go through red lights, go through stop signs, damaged cars are up in your face, and the cops said, it's happening to us. And I said, and we said, well, why don't you cite them? But this is a public policy issue, and it's time, I think, and a lot of people are thinking that, hey, if people want to drive on the streets and they want parking and all that, you pay when you buy your license plates or your tags yearly, but bicyclists have a free ride and no responsibility, and they pay for nothing, but they want everything and then some. So it's time to stop this. And, you know, as a kid, years ago when we had our tricycles, the three-wheel little bikes, you had a warning bell on them or a little horn. You don't have any of that today. They ride around at night. There's no lights on a lot of them. Some of them do. I mean, those are the responsible people. Have no lights and no taillights. So you don't see who these people are on the bikes, and you have to be very careful to avoid hitting them, because if you do, then you've got a big insurance claim against you. And there have been we had a case where a bicyclist pulled in front of a mini bus and was crushed. It's unfortunate, but hey, you know, and it's time for these people to be held responsible, to be responsible if they're going to be on the road, to observe the rules of the road. And it's, and I understand that on our other website, the new one, Swamp Fox Humor, we came up with that name. I try to get Swamp Fox, but it didn't quite work. We have Pitbull guarding bicycles, and the FBI statistics are over 1.5 million bikes. These are earlier statistics that are stolen every year. And we brought up the FBI statistics of the 10 cities that have the most bikes stolen. And unfortunately, the city fathers and mothers and these politicians in these cities are promoting bike ownership, but not bike responsibility. So we're gonna resume on Friday. We'll have the hour show, and we're still formatting, trying to decide, since a lot of work goes into these interviews and research. So we want to thank you for listening, and we're going to close out. We'll just close out without politics and poker. We have enough of that. But there's still a count going on in one major election here in California, and that's for the state attorney general. There's been rampant voter fraud, and we don't know how far it's reached into this particular election. We know in San Francisco that ballots were thrown into a pond in a previous election. Boxes of ballots were supposed to be turned into the voter registrar's office. They were found floating in the San Francisco Bay. The dummies didn't put enough rock to sink them. So I'm being cynical when I say that. So tune in Friday, and this show will stay up, as all our shows do. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Thank you and good night.